As Rick mentioned, the basis of the data we'll be presenting was funded by the Samuel Fanfox Foundation in New York City. And the goal of the program was to develop a home-based primary care intervention focusing on the older adult in the South Bronx. I came up with another title which is not does not parallels what is in the syllabus, ACOV Prime and Home-Based Primary Care, and I'll explain why. The older adult actually healthcare provided to the older adult actually consumes about 40% of the general healthcare dollar. The older adult is affected by many medical conditions, which actually put them at a lower functional reserve. Yet very little is known about the quality of care that is provided to the older adult. RAND Health, which is a subdivision of the RAND Corporation, set out to develop a set of quality indicators, which is called the ACOV system, which this initiative actually started in the middle to the late 70s out of UCLA, and today we're up to the ACOV system number 3. The ACOV system was applied to two healthcare systems throughout the United States to see what level of care was provided to the older adult. And the outcome results are pretty simple, but very revealing. The vulnerable adult actually receives only 50% of recommended guidelines when measured against the ACOV indicators. As diagnosticians, physicians are very good at treating and adhering to current guidelines that are aimed at the adult in the 50-60 age range, but not for people over the age of 65. Prevention suffers the most. There is minimal time spent in counseling and educating healthy lifestyles and that promote behavioral change. As medical conditions are targeted, when we look at specific geriatric conditions of care through the ACOV system, care is even poorer. When we correlate the care provided to older adults as it relates to fall prevention, medication review, dementia screening, this is a very, very poor segment when compared to general medical conditions. Medication prescribing patterns. Now, this is a general title. When we look into the details that the ACOV system looked at, you know, how well are doctors, physicians, adherent to prescribing the appropriate medications, of avoiding inappropriate medications, monitoring in an appropriate fashion when they prescribe medications in a longitudinal fashion to prevent negative outcomes. This area is also very, very poor. ACOV came up with over 200 quality indicators. Now, ACOV actually stands for Assessing Care of Vulnerable Elders. One of the indicators refers to the geriatric evaluation, a comprehensive geriatric evaluation. It is recommended that all vulnerable elders, once they come under the care of a new doctor, that new physician review within a six-month time frame all the elements of a comprehensive geriatric evaluation, which actually pays special attention to cognition, affect, visual function, physical function, hearing impairment, malnutrition, incontinence, and disorders of balance and mobility. Now, that's a lot to do. And obviously, the indicator after review of the outcome showed that the approach is better accomplished if it is in an interdisciplinary fashion. Interdisciplinary care provides the opportunity to evaluate not only the medical, but the psychological, social, economic, environmental status of the individual. Now, the program that we developed was focused on the poorest of the poor in the city of New York in the South Bronx. They are the most marginalized and silent segment in our community. Those 60 and over happen to be overutilizers of ER and hospital stays. So we wanted to take the opportunity to improve our delivery of preventive care to the vulnerable elder by identifying people at various points of care, inpatient, ambulatory, based on referral systems, and intervene by providing a comprehensive geriatric assessment in an interdisciplinary fashion. Now, the enhanced home-based primary care program that we developed was an expansion of the traditional academic program, and it incorporated the unique skill set of community health workers. Now, this is a process that defines the flow of the patient through our model of care. Enrollment criteria was based on a screening tool, the VES-13 screening tool, which we'll look at in detail. And if they had a score of 3 or more, they were eligible to enter the program. Referral sources, we aim to collect patients from the inpatient, ambulatory, and ancillary referrals, and we'll see how successful we were. They were then enrolled into home-based primary care, and they received the elements of a comprehensive geriatric assessment, and continuity of care was provided over a 24-month period. Now, the results that I'm presenting today is based on a one-year enrollment. Health disparities. The majority of our patients were either Black or Hispanic. All, if not few, all were had insurance that fell under the Medicaid criteria, and 50% had no primary care physician. Now, not having a primary care physician was defined as not having had a primary care visit within a 24-month period. And then we checked at 12 months, I wouldn't have it. But overall, all the patients had not seen a primary care physician within a 24-month period. Now, the VES-13. The VES-13 is a function-based screening tool. It's self-reported, so a lot of people can do it. You don't have to be a physician to apply the tool. And it identifies people at risk for health deterioration. It consists of four domains: age, self-related health, limitations in physical function, and functional disabilities. It's based on a 10-point scoring system, which correlates directly with functional decline at 24 months. A score of 3 or more versus a score of 0 to 2 on the screen identified 32% of individuals as vulnerable. Now, why are we concerned about the vulnerable adult? The vulnerable adult actually has 4 times the risk of death and functional decline when compared to elders with a score of 3 or less. Now, within the 12-month period of the study, we enrolled a total of 189 patients, mostly within the first quarter, and we retained 100 of them. Out of the 100 patients, this is the breakdown by age, and, you know, group number 2 is our younger adult, 65 to 74. Group number 3 is our middle-aged older adult, 75 to 84, and our group number 4 is our old adult over the age of 85. Now, self-related health, which is a good indicator of outcome, majority of patients reported their health as being fair, and you could see the rest. Now, the VES score. The VES score correlates directly with functional decline and or death. As we correlate the score with the age groupings, we see an increased rate of risk of functional decline from 50% to 60% to 90%. Now, we entered the home as a team, and everyone had their role as part of the GIT members. Our patient pool, as defined by screening through the mini mental status exam, 24% were diagnosed with mild dementia, 37% with moderate, and 39% of our pool was diagnosed with advanced dementia. Only 21% carried a previous diagnosis of dementia. Why haven't you made go back? Right. 21% also had a score of 5 or more on the depression screening. From a functional aspect, 30% were actually very impaired in their self care activities, and 64% were severely impaired with executive function, as defined by these tools. So, utilization of services. All patients received a new encounter and follow-up visits. The healthcare providers were myself, defined as 1.33 of an FTE, and a 0.5 FTE of a nurse practitioner. Community health workers, we had a total of 6 community health workers that provided 0.25 FTE each to the total group activity. They performed 263 home visits and also visits within the clinic, hospital settings, and phone calls. So a lot of things going on. Now, we met as a team, we met as one-on-one. Geriatric interdisciplinary team meetings occurred on a weekly basis. When that was not feasible, we would meet on a one-to-one basis. During these team meetings, we reviewed census to define if patients were still active, inactive. We had small group discussions on successful and difficult care plans. There was a lot of identification of appropriate resources to meet the special needs of our patients. And we developed educational sessions because each of the members of the team had no geriatric experience. So there was a baseline core curriculum developed for each team member. And when there were flaws or gaps in education, we developed a specific session to target that gap. And we also had a lot of performance improvement initiatives that came about. The strength of community health workers. We followed the logic model in developing the program, and we did a qualitative review on the strengths of the community health workers as defined by the special needs of our cohort. They were very successful in mediating between the community and the service system, educating the patients on the healthcare system and, you know, how to use it. Being from the community and living in the community, they were able to provide culturally appropriate health education and information. Most of them had education and experience in providing support in the diabetic realm. Once they learned more about function and the special needs of the older adult, they applied these principles in this sector also. There was a lot of linking to services. Durable medical equipment, ancillary nursing services, special medication preparations, and making referrals to these services they did with my supervision. Providing informal support. This was huge. They led support groups, and they provided individual support groups. Areas of their strength, in addition to function, were also caregiver support. All right. Advocating for individual and community needs, entitlements, public assistance, government bureaucracies. Many of them actually went hand in hand with the patient to different government agencies to make sure they received the services and the documents that they needed for services. Building individual and community capacity, health behavior change. By sitting down with them, the community health workers providing one-on-one informal counseling, they developed a bond. And this bond was very respected and respectful, and they were team leaders in their own right. Providing clinical service and meeting basic needs, housing in the South Bronx, transitioning patients from single room occupancies to assisted facilities, long-term care, they never let their patients go. And if they needed support, I was there to actually, you know, be the head honcho if needed. All right, so intensity of care and outcomes. Again, this is based on a 100% retained pool. With the GIT of care intervention, the intensity of care, all these activities going on, occurred most within the first 6 to 12 weeks. And these services included encompass stabilization of their chronic medical conditions, because most of them actually came from the inpatient setting. 97% came from the inpatient setting. Medication management. This was a huge area of patient education, eliminating inappropriate medications, monitoring appropriate medication, side effects, identification and initiation of treatment of geriatric syndromes. As I mentioned, many patients were newly diagnosed with dementia, depression, fall risk, and we implemented many services to support them. Identification addressing biopsychosocial needs. Now, with this intervention, after, let's say, 3 months, we were able actually to identify two cohorts. Most of the patients transitioned to the ambulatory clinic. They weren't truly homebound. And 35% remained homebound, palliative and hospice care. Now, the long-term indicators that we looked at were ER, hospital, long-term placement. On our retained patient, we actually, through data review, we looked at them pre and post. And there was a significant decline in the average ER utilization, hospitalization, and length of stay. Okay. Now, in a selected pool of Health First, which is a major HMO in our area, and the hospital is actually shares in the risk of this patient pool, we did a pre and post ANOVA analysis on 26 pair matches to evaluate the impact of the intervention, which showed significance in the area of decreased ER utilization. When we looked closer at the high-cost utilizers, those with a baseline utilization of two or more ER or inpatient stays, the decline was even more significant. So our enhanced model of home-based primary care with a unique skill set of community health workers and physician-driven provides a feasible model of integrating comprehensive geriatric assessment ACOB indicator to improve healthcare outcomes in the older adult in a selected pool in the South Bronx. This is my end, and I give special thanks to the hospital that provided me the opportunity, the network that provided the support, and those who inspired me the most were the residents and the medical students. Until today, I hear from them. And obviously, Fan Fox Foundation for believing in this, in the vision. Okay, is that good?